All right, if you got a Bible, John chapter 18, we're going to read the end of John 18, start of chapter 19. It'll be on the screens, 15th week in this series, in the book of John. We'll conclude it next weekend. Verse 37 of chapter 18, it says, "And Pilate said, 'So you are a king.' Jesus responded, 'You say I'm a king. Actually, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true.' 'What is truth?' Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, 'He is not guilty of any crime, but you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release the king of the Jews?' But they shouted back, 'No, not this man. We want Barabbas.' And Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate," chapter 19, verse 1, "Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. 'Hail, King of the Jews,' they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, 'I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty.' Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, 'Look, here is the man.'" Last verse, verse 6. "When they saw him, the leading priest and the temple guards began shouting, 'Crucify him, crucify him. Take him yourselves and crucify him,' Pilate said. 'I find him not guilty.'" Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. God, for the way you love us and the way you gave yourself for us. It was willing, and it was to take our place. And God, it should have been us. But you said, "I'll take it." And many times you didn't respond. You didn't react. You were quiet, demonstrating once again your love for us. When you could have changed it, you didn't. And so, God, thank you for your love today. God, I pray that your word would come alive in us. God, you would show us the truth of who you are. Show us where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a book a couple years ago called The God Who Hung on the Cross. There's a journalist who wrote this book, and she tells the story of how the gospel came to a small village in Cambodia. 2008, I had the pleasure of going to Cambodia with a team. In 2019, there will be a team from Life Community Church that will go back to Cambodia. If you're interested in being a part of that, that will happen. Information coming soon. But in Phnom Penh, there is a memorial, glass memorial, where human skulls are in this memorial talking about the 1970s where a communist regime came in and started killing people. Okay, this particular village, majority were Buddhist, but a pastor went to this village, and in going to this village, in this book, you can read this story, going to this village, they were very open to the gospel, and it blew the pastor's mind. They were friendly and they were open. And so he asked one of the older ladies there, said, "Why are you so open to the gospel of Jesus?" And she said this, "Because we've been waiting for 20 years for someone to tell us the story about the man who hung on the cross." And then she began to tell the stories. Again, 1979, communist regime came in, and when they came in, they went to this small village, and they immediately rounded up everybody in the village, and they told them to start digging their own grave. As they began to dig the graves, stories of people in the village praying to demons, praying to Buddha, praying to other spirits, but all of a sudden, there was a silent cry of a girl that started praying to the man who hung on the cross. And all of a sudden, everybody started praying to the man who hung on the cross. And now all of a sudden, there was a loud noise of people praying to the man on the cross. And this girl heard stories from her grandmother when she was a child about Jesus and the man who hung on the cross. And they thought if there was anybody that could understand suffering, it was the man who hung on the cross. And as they began to pray, they started to look around. And when they looked back, they noticed that every single one of those men were gone, sparing the village. And so for 20 years, from 1979 to 1999, they prayed that someone would come and explain to them the man who hung on the cross. And so we get to John 18 and John 19. And John is telling us his portrayal of what is happening and how Jesus was despised and rejected by his own. Not by enemies, by people he was raised with, by people who said, Hosanna in the highest for the King of Kings a week earlier, who are now saying, crucify him. And Jesus is explaining, John is trying to paint this picture that despite all of those things that are happening, Jesus is still the King. Despite reading what I just read to you, despite all that's happening, a cowardless leader in Pilate, a cowardless religious leaders in the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all that's happening, despite what's happening, despite what you think is happening in this picture, because you and I read something at the end and all of a sudden we think we've got it figured out, but we're not at the end. We're in the middle. So how do we see the story when we're in the middle? How do we see the story when we're going through what we're going through? When we're right in the middle of chaos, when we're right in the middle of whatever's happening in your family, it's hard to see the end, right? So before we start looking at like Pilate and what a coward, we start looking at like religious leaders. Wow, what jerks and what crazy guys these are. Maybe there's a little bit of us in these guys. Maybe we're a lot like Pilate more than we think. Because you and I can reject Christ because he threatens our pride and our self-righteousness. See, this is what's happening with the Jewish leaders. What's happening is they're prideful and they're self-righteous. And because they're prideful and self-righteous, they see Jesus as a threat. And because they see Jesus as a threat, they don't think he came the way they thought he should come. And before we start going like, wow, these guys are out of their minds, how many times have we been through something and we don't like the outcome? We don't like how it turned out. Yet maybe what's happening is this is what Jesus is doing. And now what's happening? What's confronted? What's confronted is our pride and what's really happening. And what's confronted is, what do I do with this self-righteousness? What do I do with what's happening? Because here's the reality. The reality of everybody in this room is some bad things are going to happen to you. You're going to have incredible family moments. You're going to have incredible moments at your job. But you're also going to have some messed up times. You are going to be treated wrong. That is going to happen in your lifetime. It's not about what happens to you. It's always about how you respond to it. Every time you come in and say, well, my marriage is this. Get in line. Well, my boss is doing this. Get in line. Well, I feel like financially wanted. Get in line. Get in line. It's not about what's happening to you. How are you responding to what's happening to you? Some of you are like, I've been here for years. Yes, because you react and don't respond right. And because you don't respond right, you're actually staying there for a long period of time. You saying I'm keeping myself for a year? Yes, and I'm the only one that's telling you that. Everybody else is coddling you and hugging you and telling you the right things that you want to hear. No, you need to hear some things. Get in line. You respond. The Israelites, 40 years, same mountain. How many times did they go, I think I've seen this before. Like, that looks really familiar. What kept them walking for 40 years instead of 40 days? That's what it should have taken. 40 days. It took them 40 years. Why? Pride and self-righteousness. What keeps us from moving and growing in our relationship with Christ? Pride and self-righteousness. What happens when life starts going good? We have the opportunity to keep growing, or we grow in pride and self-righteousness. What did the Pharisees, what did they pray in Matthew? They prayed, God, please, don't let me be like these sinners. For I pray more than them, I give more than them, I tithe more than them, I do way more than they do. God, please. What are they saying? I'm prideful and I'm self-righteous. And why none of you in this room, I'm sure, have never prayed that prayer How many times do we look at somebody else and we think, at least I'm not them? At least I'm not going through what they're going through. What is that? That's pride coming out. That's self-righteousness coming out. They rejected Jesus because they're prideful. We reject Jesus because we're prideful. We reject Jesus because it's easier to see the speck in somebody else's eye than the log that is in our own. Yeah? Too much? 9 a.m. couldn't handle it either. We reject Jesus because the cost is too much. What did Pilate ultimately decide? Pilate ultimately decided the fear of the crowd and the people out there is way more pressuring. It's crazier. The cost was too much. Do you know that if Pilate released Jesus, Pilate could have been put to death under law? They could have turned around and said, then give us Pilate. By law standards, Pilate could have died had they not done what was requested. What does Pilate do? He coddles them. Hey, go beat Jesus a little bit, right? Go beat him. Present the king with a crown of thorns and beat marks, and maybe then. What did they do instead? Give us Barabbas, the guy who's known murderer, known robber, known for leading a revolution against Pilate, against the government. They said, give us that guy instead of the guy who's done miracles, loved people, seen signs and wonders. We don't want that guy. We want Barabbas to be freed. Makes a lot of sense, right? Because usually when I choose pride and I choose being self-righteous and I count the cost, usually it's ridiculous. And it's to the extreme. And so before we start going like, why did they choose Barabbas? Because you and I, the choices, when we choose pride and self-righteousness, the result is always going to look foolish. To who? To the people who aren't choosing that. So Pilate, what does he do? He counts the cost. This is why Jesus, throughout the Gospels, one particular case in Luke 5 where he was confronted by three men who said, Jesus, we're going to follow you. And Jesus is almost like talking them out of it, right? See, to me, if you're building something, if you're building a business, what do? You like waive fees. You're like, yeah, come on in. Let's make this easy because I'm trying to build something here. Come on in. Me and my wife, we always get suckered into the timeshare talks, right? This past week, we did the same thing. It's like all of a sudden you start up front and all of a sudden it's like, we just want the gifts, right? All of a sudden up front, they're like, this is how much it costs to get in. Oops, scratch that. It comes down to this. Scratch that. Oh, it's now $0 a month for a year. Why didn't you start with that? What's happening? Jesus, you would think that Jesus is trying to get anybody and everybody, but when these men come to him and they say, we want to follow you, and Jesus says, well, here's the cost. And he starts telling them. Why? Because Jesus doesn't want you to say, yes, I'll follow, and you see the benefits, and when it gets hard, you run. So he's saying up front, all right, here's what the cost is. He says, oh, and by the way, you know, in Luke 9:23, it's real simple. If any of you wants to be my follower, just give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Well, that crowd gets it more than you and I get it because you and I don't follow crosses. We don't carry crosses. We wear crosses, right? We make crosses look very comfortable, convenient, cushion it. They understood it. When he said, follow, take up your cross and follow me, they understood you are now dying to yourself. Give up your own way. Jesus is telling them, hey, if you want to follow me, here's the price tag. The price tag is you don't get a say. The price tag is you might have to carry a cross every single day to follow me. What was Jesus ultimately saying? This is going to be difficult. This is going to be hard. There's going to be days you want to give up. There's going to be days that you're like, is this even worth it? There's going to be those moments. And stop discounting yourself because of that. You're going to have those days. But Jesus doesn't want you to follow him just because he does miracles. And just because there's blessing. And just because there's promises. He wants to follow you because he loves you. And he wants a relationship with you. Not just someone who's in it for the benefits. And you and I know the difference, right? We know the difference. We know the difference when we do relationships. That one guy calls you and you're like, oh my gosh, he needs something. He's not calling just to chat. He knows I got a truck. That's why I don't have a truck, you know? He knows. You got those people. They're calling you and you're like, phew. And then you got the good people like, ooh, Cardinal tickets. I know that's why they're calling. Yes, sir. Hello. Hey, how are you? Yeah, good, good. You get to the point. What's up? Where are they? Ooh, behind the plate. Yeah. I'll take them. No problem. We got them. We got those friends, right? They call. You know they're moving. You've seen it on Facebook. Oh, they're moving. They're doing a rehab right now. It's like, let's avoid them. Let's avoid them right now. Let's avoid them. Like, oh, yeah, I know I'm busy, you know. Jesus, he wants you. He wants a relationship with you. For you. That's why the Bible says, while you are still sinning, Christ died. That's why. Last thing. You can accept Christ's death in place of your sins. Let's be real. You and I are a lot like Barabbas. And before we start going like, I've not murdered anyone. I haven't even robbed anyone. I stole once, but it wasn't a lot. What does Jesus do? Jesus discounts the law because he fulfilled the law. So he's not just discounting. He says, I stand in its place. And because he stands in its place, he has the right to say things like, yeah, you may not have physically murdered anybody, but you've hated them in your heart, so you've murdered them. You've murdered them with your words. You were verbal towards them and you killed their spirit. So you're a murderer. Yeah, you haven't committed adultery physically, but you've committed adultery in your mind by the way you looked at her. And so thus you've committed adultery. What did Jesus do? Jesus took away what we do on the outside and says, it's not really what you do on the outside. It's actually a heart thing because what's in your heart is what comes out. And so Jesus is talking more about the results of what's actually in your heart because that's where he goes to. Okay, so then Jesus says, we're more like Barabbas than we would say because we've murdered people with the way we've looked at them, with the way what we've done to them. No, physically, but spiritually and verbally and mentally, we've murdered people. So he's saying, listen, but look what I've done. Barabbas should have been on the cross instead of Jesus because he was guilty and he deserved to die. And guess what? We are guilty. And we're guilty because every single one of us are sinners. But Christ died for us. But the grace of God, we're all Barabbas. Every single one of us, we deserve to die the worst death because of our sins. Yet Jesus stood in his place. And you know what Barabbas did? Barabbas did nothing to earn his pardon. He did nothing to earn it. You and I did nothing to earn it. Stop saying, well, my family, or I made this decision, or I did that. No, you did nothing to earn it. It is God's gift to you, and it's not because you're special and you live in Monroe County and your parents are incredible. And it's not because your parents aren't incredible and you didn't have the best. You did nothing to earn it. It's God's gift to us. We did nothing to earn this pardon. It did not say, because of good behavior, Barabbas, you are now pardoned. No, if anything, his behavior was not good. It was not good. Third, Jesus died in Barabbas' place. He died in our place. Jesus. Like Barabbas. We are guilty. We are guilty. And Jesus died in our place. And listen, when you hear about what Jesus does, it either awakens your pride or it crushes it. You either respond like Barabbas, and I guarantee Barabbas wasn't going, I'll do it. Yep, I'll do it. He wasn't doing that. He's like, phew, this is awesome. I'm a murderer. He knows what he's done. He knows he should still be in prison. Yet he is just released. I know a lot of you, maybe you listen to podcasts or you read books, and we're all over the place, I'm sure. There's a guy I listen to, I watch, agree or not agree, it's really not debatable right now, okay? It's just, his name's Stephen Furtick. He pastors large church. I like his passion. I like the way he speaks. But he does these sessions where he takes interns and they just ask questions, okay? And one of the questions this past week as I'm watching, one of the questions is talking about how to handle criticism. That one of the worst things, all of us in this room, one of the most difficult things to do is handling criticism, right? Someone comes up to you and says, I don't really like that about you. What do we usually do? You know, some of you, you know, you give them the bird, right? Or you say, forget you. You know, I mean, everybody responds different, right? Some of you, you do it in your mind, you know. Right? And so he's just talking about this, and he says, like, I'm not good at this. Like, this is difficult for me when someone says, we don't like what we see. Now, there's a lot of things that we can take from that. But his point was, do we see the truth in what people say, or are we only concerned by how they say it? So he's talking about, he uses this analogy of a diamond. And he's saying, like, I would rather find a diamond in the middle of dirt than for someone to have to gift wrap it and give it to me from Tiffany's. He's saying, I don't want to be the person that has to have someone nice and say it nice for me to get the truth. I want to be able to get the diamond out of however they presented it to me. Because what ultimately is it doing? It's revealing what is really going on in here, right? How I respond is just revealing what is really going on inside of here. So if you say something to me and you're like, I don't like you, and I come back and say, like, I'm sorry that you don't like me. I love you, and how can we work this out? What I would say is inside my heart is purity, and inside my heart is compassion. But if I'm like, well, forget you, I don't like you either, and we start brawling, I would say anger is inside my heart. All it's doing is what? It's revealing what is going on in my heart. That's all it's doing. So how are we at responding, right? Because this is what it comes down to. Every single person was presented with Jesus. From religious leaders to government officials to the crowd to the people standing by to Barabbas. All of them were presented with Jesus, and they all did what? They responded differently. And so much that Pilate's wife was like, hey, stay away from this guy. Stay away. He's innocent. What is that? All of us, we have this opportunity. We're either accepting or we're rejecting what Jesus has done. And you say, well, how do I know that? Do I respond at the end of a service and that's how I know? And I would say no, you guys. I would say no. This is how are we living this out. I never want you to see Kelly Moyer stand in front of you and crying and talk about foster care and you'd be like, that's why I'm doing it. Yes. No, you've not counted the cost. Don't make an emotional decision on getting involved in foster care. Don't. Don't just hear what I'm saying to you. Go read John 18 and 19 and go, where am I? Where am I in this story? Am I Pilate right now? Am I so confused by the crowd? Am I so consumed by peer pressure that I don't know how to respond? I'm so ashamed of the gospel. Where am I right now? Like, I want you to not make this emotional decision that all of a sudden we have flaky followers of Jesus. And all of a sudden when life gets tough, we're like, I'm out of here. This is too difficult. We don't want that. Jesus doesn't want that. And so Jesus has always found, like, trying to talk people out. Like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, I meet with people all the time. It's like, I don't know that it's worth it. I don't know that I can do this. And here's what I would say to us. For you that are like, I don't know if I should come to church, or I don't know if I should be reading my Bible, or I don't know if I should keep praying because I feel like I've prayed and there's been nothing. My question would be, what's the result of you stop praying? See, what's unseen in all of this is the power of your prayers, the power of your faithfulness, the power of your consistency. You know why it's not seen? It's like anything, you guys. It's hard to see it for yourselves. It's like you're losing weight. You're faithful every day, doing it. And there seems to be no. And then someone walks up and is like, dang, girl, you're losing some weight. And you're like, oh, are you serious? You're seeing it? What happened? You're so used to looking at yourself that somebody else had to see it. What is that a result of? Faithfulness, consistency. So my question is always like, what's the result if you stop? What's the result if you're inconsistent? That's why I don't like diets that have cheat days. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't. You're a flexitarian. You're not a vegetarian. And I think we do that with Jesus. Jesus, can I have a cheat day? You have to see yourself. It's super easy to sit right here and go, yep, he's talking to my spouse today. Man, he's nailing my kids. I hope they're hearing it. It's got to be personal today. It's got to be, Jesus, where's the diamond at today? I just don't like how he presented it. I just don't like his jokes. I don't like how he views millennials, you know? Doesn't matter. The truth is, this is what Jesus said, and this is what Jesus did. What you do with the truth, that's totally up to you. You know what I love to do? I love to hold your hand and lead the way. I can't do that. Because there's going to be moments where you and I aren't going through the same things, and you have to respond differently. You have to decide. Where are you? And then the most important question of when you determine where you are, and some of that determination is, my goodness, I have sin. I have issues. You know what the hardest thing now to do is, once you realize that? Respond right. Why is that difficult? Because you're responding right might be that you have to go to someone and you might have to tell them your sin. And that's difficult. That is so hard to look at someone else who respects you, who honors you, who wants the best for you, who has high expectations of you, and you have to blow their mind with a secret that you have. But you realize I'm such at a place that I have to. If I'm going to show that I'm committed, I've counted the cost and I have to. Because I don't like this trap, I need to experience freedom. And sometimes that freedom only comes in confessing that to somebody else. And that's what James says, not what Jamie says. Okay? So you have to determine where you are, and you have to respond well. Okay? And some of you, that's guys coming up singing a song, and as they come up, you come up and you pray. And despite other people going, wonder what she's getting prayer for. Wonder what's really happening in that marriage. Who cares? Okay? Despite how people are treating you, to me, that's Pilate. And Pilate's going, man, the crowd is really influencing me right now. Don't let the crowd influence you. Because when the crowd influences you, guess what happens? You become indecisive. When you become indecisive, you really are just neglecting Jesus. Okay? He neglected Jesus. Okay? You have to determine. Some of you, that is coming forward, that's asking someone to pray with you, and that's very difficult for you. Some of you, it's turning to your spouse, and you're saying, I need more. Or you're turning to your spouse, you're saying, I want that. Or you're turning to your spouse, you're saying, I accept what Jesus did for me, and I want that. I'm tired of rejecting him. Or it's turning to someone saying, you know what? I've lived a prideful life. I'm not going to do it anymore. What is that? That's you coming at the end of your rope going, I cannot do this anymore. When you're okay with being exposed, it's because you want freedom more than you want to keep a secret. And here's the only promise that I can give to you, and you're going to have to trust me on it. There will be extreme freedom when there's exposure. What comes with exposure? Embarrassment. But it's not for the sake of you being embarrassed. It's for the sake of you growing, becoming the husband God called you to be, the dad that your kids really need, the friends that understands freedom. That's the point. The point isn't exposure. The point isn't to make you look dumb. The point is freedom. For who the Son has set free is free indeed. That's the trust factor, you guys. There has to be a trust factor. You have to hear it. I can't take you by the hand and take you there. You have to want that. You have to be like the guy who goes to the grocery store and knows exactly what he wants, and he doesn't stop in the ice cream section. Keep going to what you need, not what you want. You need freedom. Okay? You need freedom. And that's just by accepting what Christ has done for you on the cross. And it's as simple as, Jesus, I accept you. I pray Luke 9:23. I deny myself. I take up my cross and I say yes to you. I say yes to you. I say yes to you. Would you stand with me today? Guys, for time's sake, I could bring men and women on this stage right now. I could call them out right now. Men and women that I know that would express to you the same sentiment that I just expressed to you. Stop delaying. Experience freedom. They would tell you that. They would get on this stage and they would scream it. Stop living a lie. Accept what Christ has done. Accept the sacrifice. If you're in this place and you say, you know what? I need prayer today. Maybe you're here by yourself. Maybe you got the person next to you, but you're just here and you're like, you know what? I just need someone to pray with me today. While this song is being played, there will be people in this place that will come and pray with you if you want to come forward. Okay? This is just a couple moments, all right? We're not taking social security numbers, blood types, anything like that. We're just offering an opportunity for you to start the process in freedom. That's it. Okay? Jesus, thank you for today. God, I pray for the people in this room that's heart is beating really fast. And they're feeling, God, the call on their lives. They're feeling like you're speaking, but maybe some of them, they don't even know what that feels like, and this is new. But they're just saying, God, I want to accept you. I don't want to be prideful. I don't want to be self-righteous. I don't want to worry about the cost. I just want to say yes to you. God, I pray for them right now. I pray specifically, God, that you give them the courage to take the step, that you give them the courage to say yes, for them to look at someone across from them or look at someone up at the front and say, yes, here I am. I want Jesus and nothing else matters. God, I pray strength for them right now in Jesus' name. Come on, guys, as we sing the song, if that's you in this place, if that's you, come on down.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.